Together with American Songwriter, we had the absolute pleasure of talking to Tori Kelly.
Adam was able to talk to Tori over Zoom video. Tori Kelly is an amazing artist. She has over 5 million monthly listeners on Spotify, two of which have over 100 million plays each. She has a new EP out called Solitude, which she wrote and recorded in quarantine. It includes some new songs and an awesome cover of Drake's Time Flies.
You can watch the interview on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. Get a little look, a little peek behind the curtain into Tori Kelly's home. And make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Tori Kelly.
Hi.
Hi, Tori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Yeah. So our podcast, just a little background, is just about your journey in the music industry and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Cool. Sounds easy.
So why don't you tell me, Tori, where'd you grow up?
I grew up actually close to where I'm at now. I'm in LA now, but I grew up in a place called the Inland Empire, Southern California.
I know that. That's more Riverside County.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So I'm a Cali girl for sure.
Very cool. We're in SoCal too. We're in San Diego.
So. Oh, nice. I love San Diego.
Cool. So yeah, tell me about growing up there.
I had a fairly good experience, you know, growing up. I loved being by the water. I had a lot of my childhood was like on a lake, really. So we had a boat and, you know, we'd go swimming and like wakeboarding all the time. So that part, I do really love that about California. And even just like little things like being, close to LA, because I've been doing music for so long. And as a kid, I think I took for granted just the fact that we could like drive up to LA and take a meeting, you know, with somebody. Now as an adult, I realize like, oh wow, like people move to LA for, you know, to pursue their dreams. So that's something, you know, I'm grateful for, even little things like that, just being a Cali girl. But, I love it. I love it here.
That's awesome. Yeah. And how did you get into music?
So my parents, are both pretty musical. My dad, you know, grew up singing and he plays bass and he was in a bunch of bands growing up. So, my mom, she plays piano, has a really good like musical ear. So music was definitely always around me as a kid. My dad even had like a studio set up where he would have like his bandmates come and I was around that sort of environment, and they would have, you know, their rehearsals. There'd be like loud drums all through the house. And that was just normal to me. I'd be like five, like running around and dancing while they're, you know, rehearsing. So I think that had a really big influence on me and just how, just my relationship with music and how, it's a huge part of me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would definitely credit, most of that to my parents, 'cause I think they saw something in me at a really young age and kind of tried to, support that and you know, give me the right tools to help me succeed in that.
That's cool. Were you able to see your dad perform like shows and stuff?
I, you know, when he was in most of the bands he was in, it was kind of like before me or like when I was like a baby, but I did see him, you know, like he played at church, or we would even sing together like at church sometimes. And yeah, he had a band, where they would play different gigs and stuff. So I did get to see, them perform a little bit, like coffee shops and stuff, which was fun. So
yeah, that's fun. I didn't know if you got to be like his roadie or something like that.
Yeah. They didn't ever do like big tours. Like it was mostly like local shows and stuff, but, even that was just like a great experience.
That's awesome. Yeah. With all the instruments and music in your house, what was the first instrument you learned to play?
So, My first instrument was actually the drums, which is kind of surprising. And I even forget sometimes that, like, 'cause you know, now guitar is sort of a part of my whole thing, just because, guitar really came out of nowhere because I had always been singing, but then when it came time to like doing shows and stuff, I didn't really want to sing to a track because it kind of felt like karaoke. And mm-hmm. I also didn't want to rely on, you know, calling up somebody and then having to rehearse and like, you know, go over that. So that's really how I picked up guitar, was just because I didn't want to rely on other people. And so I just, you know, started, you know, messing around and then realizing that most songs are kind of easy to play once you know like three chords or something. But but yeah, I really gravitated towards drums. It was actually a gift to my little brother when he was like 12 from my parents, and he never played them. So I would like sneak into his room and just like, I would have like Paramore on in my headphones and just like go crazy on the drums.
Rad.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I realized like, it's kind of hard to do, like to be an artist and like accompany myself with like just me and drums. It's kind of hard.
Right.
So I think that's why I kind of like, you know, moved over to guitar. But I miss drums though. I want to get back into it. I've dabble a little bit now, but I'm probably rusty. So
yeah, I was gonna ask if you ever put them like drummed on your records or anything.
No, that would be really cool to do on a record. I did bust out the kit on one or two of my tours where like me and my drummer would kind of have like a battle and choreographed like a whole thing, and he was great because he like helped me with parts and stuff. So that was good. I think that kind of got everyone excited too. It's just fun to like, you know, show different sides of
That's so cool. And you're always singing, or did that something that came? Okay, you're always singing.
Yeah, singing was always a part of my life. I don't even really remember when I started. I can kind of go off of home videos even, because my parents got some videos of me just kind of like humming around the house as like a toddler.
That's cool. Do you remember your first, or like those early musical, like your first performance? Do you remember your first performance?
I want to say there's one that really sticks out for me, because I was about 6 years old, and there were these like competitions, but I don't even know if they still have them. They might, but they're like dancers would be in them, and then you'd have like the singer categories, and like all these kids would be a part of it. And my vocal coach at the time, like that was kind of her thing. Like she, you know, you'd get lessons, but then you'd also like try to get into these competitions. And now looking back, it felt almost like beauty pageant type stuff, like pageant kids, but like for like dancing,
musicians,
singing, I guess. Yeah, like it was kind of like a little scene, and it was super fun. I enjoyed it, but I remember I never really won like first place, because I was so shy. Like I had really bad stage fright, and I loved singing, and I think the singing part was like, you know, fine, but like my stage presence, you know, they want to see you like really perform and like flashy. And so I remember, I think that even kind of shaped me though, and how like my drive started forming as an artist, and just wanting to get better in certain areas. Cause I would see these little kids and kind of be like, oh man, like they're so much better than me at
performing. A little envious of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they'd always win and stuff. But I think that all played into, like, I think it was all good, because I think it was, you know, a little bit of like a healthy competition, even at a young age. But I did end up winning one time when I was like 9 years old. I ended up winning, and I have the trophy actually in my studio right now.
I was wondering if you kept it.
It's literally too big to even like show you, but it's taller than me. And I just remember being so excited. Like that, it was just the best day ever.
That's so awesome. Okay, here's a question. Did you have that same reaction when you won the Grammy, or was the kid winner the one?
Okay, so that is actually so funny, because I purposely put this, I'm literally looking at it right now. I put this huge, like, I don't even know, like 7 foot tall trophy purposely next to the Grammys, because I just think it's like a cool reminder to kind of like remember where you came from type of thing. And yeah, I mean, it was honestly obviously you can't be like, the Grammys are amazing. That's what everybody dreams about. But like, there is something about being a little kid and getting a freaking trophy that's taller than you. And just, it's just, it's so pure, you know. There was something mm-hmm. like so magical about that moment, and like nothing else mattered. And so yeah, I think there was definitely a little bit of that giddy feeling when I got the Grammy, for sure. But it's hard to compare.
Sure. I mean, that's so cool though. That's yeah. awesome that you kept it.
I had to.
Well, after that competition, like, what was next for you musically? Were you playing, like, when did you start writing songs and stuff?
Writing didn't come till a little bit later.
Okay.
I didn't even really know what songwriting was. I was kind of not, I don't want to say thrown into the music industry, because I wasn't it at all. I definitely was, you know, choosing to, mm-hmm. to be there. But at a really young age, I was about 12 when I did a TV show called America's Most Talented Kids. Because that kind of, you know, that I kept the sort of singing competition thing going.
Okay.
After that too, I would just kind of, you know, do things here and there, and I just love to sing. So I was on this show, and then from that show, some people at a record label actually saw me and they were interested. So that's kind of how I got into the industry side of things. And I started, you know, working with like every big producer at the time, every big writer. That was my first experience, other than, you know, seeing my dad work on music with his wow. with his guys. Like, I got to be in like a big studio and see, you know, how it all goes down. And I think I was really soaking all of that up like a sponge, because I was just kind of, I was still this shy girl, and just, you know, walking into these sessions like deer in headlights, but like also I think subconsciously learning a lot. And so yeah, that was really, I think, I felt like I thought that everything was going to happen then. So like, even at 12, I was like, okay, this is my big shot. Like, I'm about to be a big star, like whatever. and so, you know, when it didn't work out, just for, you know, for whatever reason, there's a lot of things that went into it. You know, everything from the president of the label moving, and then someone else coming in, and then, you know, they're not the ones who actually signed you. So it's like a different the passion isn't there as much. So many things can go on in a label. And so I was devastated at the time, but now looking back, it's like, oh, that's the best thing that could have happened. Cause I don't think I would have been ready for all of that. Like, I got so close. The album was literally done. I mean, I had so many songs. I was just like, they were really hyping me up. And, you know, I thought I was going to like put out an album and everything. And the rug kind of got swept mm-hmm. from under my
pulled
feet.
Under feet. And
yeah. And so at the time I was really sad, but it really was the perfect thing, because I think that's what unlocked that songwriter in me. Because everything before that, I didn't really think I had a voice, because I would walk into these sessions and it was like, you have this amazing singing voice. But mm-hmm. no one ever was like, you know, what do you think about this? Or what do you want to say? Like, I didn't even really know what songwriting was. There was even a few times where I had just grown up, you know, singing melodies with my dad all the time and humming different things. So I kind uh-huh. of did that sometimes in the studio, not realizing that's what writing a song.
Right.
I was just
with
like,
different melodies
okay.
and stuff.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, leaving the label and everything and parting ways, it was like very mutual. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just the best thing. Cause I went into my room. At this point, I think I was like 14, and mm-hmm. That's really, I think, when I kind of off and on would pick up the guitar, and I would just journal, start writing these like emo songs. Cause I was like sad about like no one understanding me. And, like,
listen to Paramore.
Like teenager stuff. And I think the blessing in disguise as well with that was the timing of everything. I was kind of able to have a somewhat normal, whatever that even means, but somewhat of like a normal teenage experience, because mm-hmm. it's like that whole thing got cut off. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going back to school, and I guess I can, you know, hang out with my friends.
Sure.
So there was this kind of pocket of time where I was just like writing in my room all the time. And, you know, just like pouring my heart out. And, so that was like definitely a big, chapter, I would say, of my career. That was kind of long answer, but
no, that's the point of this. Okay. I appreciate the long answers.
Okay, good.
Nobody cares what I'm saying. yes. Well, that's cool. So at 14, you're in your room writing songs. When did you start showing these to people or playing them for people?
I mean, I'd always play them for my parents because they were my biggest fans. And I really, to this day, I really value their opinion. Like I love like showing them stuff and they just have a really good feedback when it comes to music. And so I would always show my family. But I was pretty like nervous about showing people, I think, in the beginning. And then when I was like 15 is when I slowly kind of opened that door, because that's when I discovered YouTube. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I kind of discovered YouTube, saw that people were posting covers. So I started kind of doing that and dabbling a little bit. And then somewhere in that same, I'm trying to think of like the timeline, cause it was like, I did a little bit of YouTube stuff, but not a ton. Mm-hmm. And then I think I had to have been 16 then when I did American Idol. And mm-hmm. then not making it on American Idol, then it was like, oh, okay, another door kind of slamming in my face. Like, I guess I'll go back to my room and like be emo again and write more songs.
Yeah.
So I think like through all of those years, it was like this kind of this thing like building up inside of me of like all mm-hmm. suddenly I had all these things to say. Just from living life really. And then I think at that point, like right after I got cut from Idol is when I was like, okay, I'm going to start like really posting and even kind of sneaking in like some originals that I had worked on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to like get some feedback, from fans and stuff, which was, it was cool. Cause it was like instant feedback, you know, mm-hmm. comments. So yeah. And then the YouTube thing opened a whole nother world for me.
Cause you started just gaining a lot of like fans and people liking your videos and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I kind of merged like American Idol and YouTube together because I had met people at American Idol that then introduced me to, other people who were doing YouTube videos. The first person I really met was a guy named AJ Raphael, who's like big on YouTube. And so, right after American Idol, you know, it was this kind of like group of friends who all knew each other. Some of them had, you know, been on the show, some of them not. Mm-hmm. And we would just have these like crazy jam sessions at his house. And like, you know, someone would be there and they're like, oh, hop on my YouTube channel, or, oh, let's all do a video here. And then like, we'll do this song for my channel, this song for yours. And we would just like come up with these cool arrangements. And I had so much fun because for the first time it wasn't like these, you know, big label guys like kind of standing, you know, not literally standing over me, but just like, right. you know, nitpicking things. And it was like just fun. Like no one cared about, it was just about the music. There was
right.
like extra stuff. And on top of that, I was meeting like some of my best friends to this day. Like that was like the most beautiful part about it, I think. And so I'm so thankful for that time. I always kind of joke around and say that I went to YouTube University, because that would have been like that would have been the time when I would have like, you know, went to college. I'm all for that. I didn't end up going, just be, you know, the timing.
Yeah,
but I, sure. that's why I joke and say, yeah, I just went to, you know, YouTube University.
I like that though. It's kind of like you guys had your own kind of like DIY, like music scene, like virtual, yeah. like virtual music scene. Like that, yeah. that's so rad.
It was
like
so
sharing
fun.
Sharing channels and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah. And some of those guys too, like some of them went to, you know, Berklee, School of music in Boston. Yeah. Like there's some really, really talented people. So it was just so cool to just be like totally immersed in that. And yeah, through all of that, you know, my subscribers and viewers and stuff started going up a lot. So that that was totally new territory for me to kind of see that.
Do you remember like seeing the kind of pivotal shift in the viewers, or was it just kind of like an organically growing audience?
For a while, it was very organic. And, you know, I would gain like new fans from being on like different people's channels and stuff.
Oh, sure.
That helped a lot. But I think I know that there was a specific video that I remember just seeing the shift for sure. And it was my, my cover of Thinking About You by Frank Ocean. For some reason, that one really took off. I mean, I didn't even, like, it was on World Star Hip Hop. I didn't even, like, know what that was at the time. I was like, what is going on? Like, people would tell me, like, oh, my gosh, you're on World Star. Like, you made it on World Star. I was like, what? Because that's a whole, like, that's a whole different audience, you know, YouTube. And it was just, like, all over these different social media platforms. And I was just tripping out. And it was because of that video that I did with a friend that I met through this whole group. Angie Girl was her name. So it's a good example of like us, you know, doing different collabs, but
sure.
It's because of that video that I was able to kind of put together like my first show in LA. I did this, there was this place called Room 5, and, you know, of course I had done, you know, little shows locally before, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, but this was like, okay, I'm going to do originals for the first time. I'm going to like, it's just going to be me and a guitar. Like, you know, these are people who've seen me on YouTube. And it was so cool to kind of bridge that gap of, you know, here's this girl on my screen to like, here's this, you know, girl in person, or vice versa. Like, here are these people that have been writing to me online, and now I get to actually meet them in person. So like that to me, just to make it like tangible like that, was really special. And that was definitely another pivotal moment, I would say, in my career.
And when you were doing those, with that show, and you're doing your original songs, was that what became your very first EP?
Yeah. So around that same time, probably that's actually the same year. Yeah. That same year that I put the Thinking About You cover out, I started, you know, during the whole time I was posting videos on YouTube, I was still in my room, you know, writing originals and stuff. So once I did that Thinking About You cover, that triggered me to be like, oh, now I need to probably put out music, because now I have people's attention and they're kind of waiting to see what I'm going to do next. So do I want to keep doing covers and be kind of known for that? Or do I want to finally, like, you know, work up the courage to actually put out my own stuff? Mm-hmm. So that show that I did was a great kind of experiment for me to feel out like what songs people were feeling. And I still do that too. Like, I'll just do, if I have new music, I'll just like randomly do a show just to, it helps like seeing people's reactions and kind of seeing which songs land in a good way, like at a show, because it might feel different on a record versus like live. So that was what I did. And then that same year, that was 2012, in May is when I put out the first EP. Yeah, that I just did all at my house. The person who actually, I guess I technically mixed it, which I don't even know, like, it's probably not that good of a mix, but like my friend who I met through the same kind of YouTube community, he actually mastered it. So like, I was still, you know, working with all these people, and that's what, again, it was just so fun to have that community around me in the beginning of my career. So it was so special.
That's amazing. And then with that EP, that's how you got approached by a record label and you put out your debut album. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, kind of. So the EP definitely kind of made the, I guess, industry side kind of take notice again. Because, you know, for a while, for a couple of years, it was like I was kind of building this fan base organically. I kind of did it backwards than what I was about to do when I was 12, you know, when like I didn't have fans back then. But that's what made it so cool to kind of walk back into a label again, now with this EP in my hands. And in some ways, like I was able to view it more as like a partnership rather than like, I need you guys so bad, because I knew that wasn't true. I literally was at this place where I was like, I've proven to myself that I can do this without, you know, like a team around me. And that, I think, was huge for my confidence, because I, for so long, I thought, you know, of course I would think like, I need the label. I need like people to believe in me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool, just to have like already kind of like this group of fans that was like coming to shows.
Yeah. Instead of them seeking you out and saying, oh, we're going to do all these great things for you, you could go to them and say, well, I already have this massive fan base, and here's my record. Do you want to partner up?
Cool.
But, wow.
Yeah. So that was cool. And that's exactly what I did. So that, you know, I've been with the same label ever since, with Capitol Records, and they've been great. Similar with, you know, my around the same time, when the EP came out, I got with my manager, Scooter Braun, who, you know, it was kind of the same thing. It was like, hey man, like I've been kind of doing this. Like I've had a team before. So like, if we're going to do this, like, you know, you can't try to like change me or change anything I'm doing. It was like, absolutely not. Like, I love what you're about. Like, I don't want to change you. I just want to like elevate what you're already doing. So that was like a huge kind of selling point for me. And he's been great as well.
Yeah. That's amazing. And then that first record you put out went gold. Like, how cool is that?
It's so weird. Yeah. And I had like another EP in between too, that was meant, it definitely, I still did it all myself. But you know, this time I had like a little bit of help from the label and kind of more like marketing and, you know, just, more people to help me out with it, I guess. But yeah, I did the EP, but the goal of course was always to put out an album. And that was, honestly, putting out the album in 2015 was like such a roller coaster. And I just remember being so emotional, because at that point, like from 2015, it would have been that would have been like about 10 years of me just even kind of being in and out of the industry. Like from the time we, you know, when we took it to the beginning of, when I got signed, when I was 12. So I think that's what made it so emotional, is like, oh my gosh, 10 years ago, I was hoping that I could put out an album, and like, it never happened until now. And so there's just so much, behind it, and you know, a lot of emotion packed into that. So I think that still to this day is like one of the biggest highlights of my career, just that feeling of putting out my first album.
Yeah.
I really like that.
And then what a validating moment to see it just do so well, go two on the charts, and like, crazy. You know, you get a gold record. How? Yeah, what an it's incredible.
Crazy. I need a plaque for that. I don't even have one.
You That's don't? Fine,
huh? I need like my own plaque. Like, someone help me out. I don't
Call
know.
The RIA. Tell them to send you one.
I know.
I'll get on the phone with them after this call.
I literally don't even know how that works. I'm like, do I get one of those? Or like,
You should.
And it would probably freak me out though to see it. Like, but no, I should have one. Anyway.
You should. Well, after you put the record out, did they put you on tour? Like, how did you
get out?
Okay.
Yeah, that whole, 2015 and a little bit of 2016 was definitely like the busiest, craziest year of my life, I would say. Definitely went on tour, did a couple tours that were kind of like broken up. And then a lot of like overseas stuff, almost every award show, even, you know, in different countries. And I remember at one point you're on adrenaline for most of it, so you don't really realize what's going on. I got really good at sleeping on planes. It's like really good at it. it didn't even matter what time of the day it was. I would just, right when I sat down, I'm like, oh, it's time for sleeping. Like, I just knew, like, you got to get those little naps in.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I remember at one point realizing that we had been, there was like one stretch, it was like a week. And I even journaled about it because it was so crazy. And I think I was literally in a different, somehow like a different continent every day. Like just the way that the travel was, it was insane. Like, and then I somehow ended up back at like in New York, and I was just like, what is today? Like, what is the time? I don't know where I am.
That's so funny. Yeah.
So I wouldn't trade any of it, but it was definitely a lot of work. But it was fun. And I've been told that that's kind of, you know, on a major label and everything, that's kind of like the, you know, new artist.
The norm.
You gotta pay your dues kind of thing. Sure. Just say yes to everything. I was like, okay, whatever. It was fun.
Yeah.
So you put the record out, you're doing some touring, promoting it. And then the next album you put out, Hiding Place, that's the one that scores you 2 Grammys.
So crazy.
And tell me a little bit about that record.
Yeah, so there was quite a gap between the albums because Hiding Place wasn't till 2018. But what people might not know is I was already working on what now has become Inspired by True Events.
Oh, wow. So
those songs are actually like older than the gospel songs. Some of them, not all of them. But yeah, so I was working on just an album. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I remember talking to Scooter about, I was like, hey, what do you think about throwing like a gospel song on the album? And he was like, yeah, I love that. Like, if you're going to do gospel, you should work with Kirk Franklin. I was like, okay. I mean, it shoot really high. Like, I wasn't even thinking that, but okay. Yeah. Like, he's a legend. And I grew up listening to him. So we got in the studio together thinking that it was going to just be a song or 2 songs, you know, a part of the full album that I was already working on. And then once we got in the studio and just started working, like 2 songs very quickly became 8 songs. And at first we were like, okay, or I think it became like 4 songs, and we were like, okay, what if we do like an EP? And then it became 8 songs, and we were like, we should just put out an album.
Do a record.
So that's kind of how that one really just sort of wedged its way in between, because it was just done and it just felt right. And I believed in it so much. And it was just, I was so passionate about it. And then, you know, in reality, I was working on both albums at the same time.
They
overlapped quite a bit. So, I just can't believe that's like, the Grammy thing.
Yeah. Wow. I know. That's crazy that you just went in there to, you know, try a couple gospel songs and it just creates this record and it resonates with people and you score 2 Grammys. I mean, what a story. Fun. Wow.
Yeah. It's definitely a special one close to my heart. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And then Inspired by True Events, you were saying were some of the older songs, but you released that record about a year ago.
Yeah. So even though it came out last year, some of those songs go back to even 2017, like when I started, it's not even as early. I feel like there's one song, like Kid I Used to Know, I think I wrote in 2016. So crazy. Oh. But, you know, obviously they evolve and kind of go through changes. But some of those songs, though, they were, that album really represented, I think, like a season in my life or a chapter in my life, like right after I got off tour in 2016, just a lot of like family stuff and a lot of very just personal things. Like my grandfather had passed away during that time on my dad's side. My parents separated during that time. So it was kind of strange to like kind of have this like crazy, you know, crazy year
of heavy stuff happening.
Yeah, like well I'm saying even like before that, like when I put out my first album, like I was, you know, on this high, and then you know, to have the crazy year of just all that stuff kind of going on, and especially at the same time, was like very emotional and heavy. So I didn't think that I would write an album like that, but it was the type of thing where I could have just, you know, gone in and been like, okay, all this stuff is happening, but I'm still going to write these kind of like happy pop songs. Like that's what people want to hear. And you know, try to chase that. But I just knew that I would be doing myself a disservice and my fans a disservice if I wasn't like fully honest about just what was going on at that time in my life. Mm-hmm. So yeah, even though it came out like a little later than the things that actually happened, it felt good just to like kind of get it out. It was like
just release it. Yes. Yeah.
I just need this like to be out there and then I can like move on. And yeah, because even when I released it, like I was already kind of in starting to be like in a different place, just in my personal life. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it was just a lot, but I'm glad that it's out there.
Yeah. Well, you released the record and like 6 months later, the whole world shuts down. So did you have a chance to really like tour it or like promote it? Like, I feel like putting out an album like that and then you're kind of like, you know, right away everything kind of shuts down.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is for that album, I was getting such, I was getting so antsy about the songs not coming out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, just getting, it's sometimes a challenge to get the whole team on the same page and being like, okay, what's the sound of the album? Like, how are we going to promote it? This and that. So I was starting to get antsy. I was like, these songs have been like in my heart for so long and they're like heavy songs. Like I need to sing these out in the world. And so mm-hmm. we actually ended up doing a tour before the album even came out. This was like in April of 2019. And so it was kind of like this little tease of like, okay, I'm going on tour. It's just acoustic. I'm going to be telling stories, kind of opening up what's been mm-hmm. going on. And playing a bunch of new songs. So I kind of gave fans the album acoustically.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So, you got that therapeutic moment even before the record, kind of touring it around. And then when it came out. It wasn't, here's a single.
I needed it.
Here's a single. Now I got to tour it.
Exactly.
Well, wow. Well, that
I needed it. I really did. I was like, I was going crazy. I was just like, I need to get these songs out of my brain. But I did, though. We were actually planning, more of a world tour. And then that, of course, got cut off short. So mm-hmm. I was going to continue to, you know, promote the album and stuff and do the same sort of, like, acoustic vibe.
But, sure. But
hopefully I'll get out there soon.
yeah. Well, that takes us to Solitude, the brand new EP, which almost like takes it full circle for you, right? You wrote and recorded this whole record in your house again.
I know. Wait, this is so cool. I didn't even realize that it would be like that. Cause I'm kind of like in a place right now, just talking about my whole life story. This is weird. But yeah, the Solitude EP is a total full circle moment because, obviously the circumstances are different because we're kind of forced to be in our homes and in quarantine, but very similar. I was in some ways in my own quarantine back then, like just mm-hmm. always in my house. I was even homeschooled for a while, like in high school. So I was literally always home and just recording. So it definitely felt similar to that in a really good way. Just being home and, getting all these ideas out because, you know, like I said, my last album, it was definitely more on the vulnerable side and more personal mm-hmm. and stuff. So it felt so good to kind of like catch myself up even like musically and just do songs that felt good and that were fun and even reflected more of where I'm at now, which is like even things like being happily married, like I don't have any songs really to like show for that. Just because of the timing of, I got married like right when, you know, I was writing all those, other songs about my family. So it's like, it just is kind of crazy how now I'm kind of able to just even write simple love songs and just songs that feel good. It was really fun. And there's like no rules, you know? So it was cool to channel my roots.
Yeah. And with the songs that you have 4 songs on the record, 4 originals, and then the cover of the Drake song, which is awesome. But did you write those 4 songs during this period?
Yeah. Like, yes.
Okay.
So the only song that was a little bit older was Glad, which is the last track. And mm-hmm. That's the only song that I actually did like 100% by myself, like produced it, wrote it. I had the idea, I want to say sometime last year. I just kind of had like a little voice memo type of thing. And then so I finished that during quarantine, but the rest of the songs were written like just within a couple months, right when the lockdown happened, and producers would like send me tracks. Mm-hmm. Cause you remember no writing sessions are happening
right
at this point either. Like not even like Zoom sessions yet. Now they're starting to become more of a thing, but when it first happened, like all these producers were like sending tracks around, and that was fun because I would just scroll through tracks and be mm-hmm. like, oh wait, this matches this other idea that I already had. And then I kind of like, you know, blended the two together. So that's how most of them came about. But it was so much fun. I loved it.
Yeah, that's real. That's awesome. That's like I said, a full circle moment for you with the EP and recording at your place. And I, like I said, the Drake cover is awesome. Why'd you decide on that?
Thanks. Yeah. I was trying to channel sort of that like Thinking About You era of me doing that song. I mean, obviously they're different songs, but I was going through, I knew I wanted to do a cover of some kind, but I was having a hard time picking one. And then when I came across his album, I just remember when I put out the Thinking About You cover, that song was fairly new. So there was some, and I didn't do this on purpose, of course. I wasn't like planning it to go viral and stuff.
Sure. But
I just was wondering, I was like, I wonder if there's something to the fact that like, it was like a new song. It's kind of, you know, like a male R&B artist. I don't know. I was just kind of trying to pay tribute to that a little bit and you know, sort of do an acoustic version of a song that isn't acoustic. So,
sure. Yeah. It's beautiful. I love it. It's such a great cover and it's such a cool like take on the song as well.
Thank you. Thank
you. Yeah. And thank you so much for doing this today. I really, really appreciate your time. And
of course.
So awesome. I just have one more question for you.
Sure.
I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Oh, dang. I would say, I mean, you kind of heard my whole journey. It's been definitely up and down and a lot of things, you know, are out of our control. But I think what I've always tried to focus on is the things that I do have in my control. And I think those times when, you know, when the door was seemingly shut in my face, or, you know, I thought this one thing was going to happen, but it didn't. Looking back, I'm really thankful that I kind of took those moments and just channeled it into my art rather than running away from my art and being down. I took those emotions, you know, those very real emotions of being sad and, you know, confused and even like angry at some points of my career. And I put those into my songs. And I think that would be at least one piece of advice I would give, is just to really like lean in to your art and don't be afraid of any topic to sing about too, because even if the song never gets heard, it's like, I think I have so many songs that just have never seen the light of day, but I know that no song is ever wasted because it's all leading up to maybe a song that you wouldn't have written if you didn't write these five other ones. So I think that's the thing that's coming to mind right now. The more like cliche piece of advice that I always give that I think is just so like relevant even for my life still, is to not compare yourself to other people as well. I mean, I told you, even when I was 6 years old, I was comparing myself to those like little girls who were performing in their little outfits. And so it's human nature, you know, even as kids, it's like we compare each other. And I just think everyone, I'm sure everybody struggles with it. I think it's just that constant reminder that you have to tell yourself that you have something unique to offer, that, you know, that other person who you're comparing yourself to, you know, they have their thing and that's great and you can celebrate that, but you know, just to kind of work on your own crafts and you know, try to stay positive.
Bring it backwards.